This is the 106th psalm, and as I mentioned, this is the continuation of the 105th. They are clearly related to each other, and if you notice, you will see that in the previous one, it talked all about Yetziat Mitzrayim and about the 10 plagues, but it did not discuss the splitting of the sea. It did not discuss the conquering of the land of Israel. It did not discuss any of the major events that occurred in the desert in the 40 years between Yetziat Mitzrayim and coming into the land of Israel. The person who is writing this is giving us a historic retrospective, and I think that I'm going to leave it to you to tell me when you think this would have been composed. He begins by telling us something that you all have seen before. Hallelujah, hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki le'olam chasdo. And this is the way many of the songs of praise began. And so this would have been a song that would have been sung as people told the stories of the travails of what happened to them as they left Egypt. But before he begins, there is an introduction. Mi malel gvurot Hashem Yashmiya kol tihilato. Now some of you might be familiar with this line, because you might be familiar with some of the songs we sing on Chanukah. Mi yimalel gvurot. And there it doesn't say gvurot Hashem, it says gvurot Yisrael. Because it was written by Zionists, who took the words and modified it from the power and songs of praise of God to the song of human heroes. You understand? And using the Maccabim and the Hashmonaim, who fought against the Syrian Greeks, as a sample for our age, as somebody who fought against their oppressors. So there was an underlying political agenda to that song. But the word Mi Malel Gvurot Hashem is not a question, but a rhetorical one that says, who can possibly express the great powers of God? In other words, it's beyond human power to fully comprehend, and even less so to be able to give word to. The word miemalel comes from the word mila. It means to give word to be able to express in language. Furthermore, who can possibly yashmiya kol tehillato, who can make heard all of God's praises? So it's almost as if your author is giving a preamble saying, I'm going to about to tell you about the great events that occurred. I'm going to tell you about God's great strengths, but I recognize that I couldn't possibly do them justice. In fact, there is no human being that could do it justice. No one could possibly do so. So he begins with an apology. Radak, however, adds an additional line, and he tells us as follows. He says, many times God does miracles for people, which the human being who's just had a miracle happen to him has no consciousness of it. He doesn't see it. He doesn't know it while it is happening to him. Perhaps, he says, sometimes after the fact, when you look back at it, you recognize what a great miracle it was. And he quotes our sages in Masechet Nidah, where it tells us, "Ein bal hanes mikir beniso." The person who's had a miracle happen to him is not conscious of the miracle that has happened to him. It is our blindness, not merely to the natural miracles, but very frequently things that could have happened to us that were averted, we don't know. I was just reading now a story of a family that managed to save itself somehow, because they crossed the border and, of course, were immediately sent to Siberia, where some of them did not survive the harsh conditions, but the majority of the young ones made it. It wasn't exactly, you know, outright genocide. They thought that they had gone from the frying pan into the fire, when in fact they had been saved, and they had no awareness of what was happening at the time. Only when they came back did they find out what happened to their families and how a miracle had occurred to them. So your author is telling you here that there were events that maybe while they were happening, our forefathers weren't conscious of it. And in that sense, it's not merely an apologia for himself and his inadequacy, but an apologia for his forefathers who were in the desert, who we find constantly complaining, constantly kvetching and wanting to go back to what they knew, not aware of what was on the other side of the mountain. So as a result, what he tells us is, he begins, Mi Malel, and then he goes on and tells us as follows, Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat, Oset Daka Bechol Et. Happy is the one who guards, safeguards the law, who does tzedakah at all times, in all occasions. He is not talking about them in history. He's talking about us, the survivors, those that are still here amongst us. How lucky we are, he says, that we are maintaining our traditions, that we've remained loyal. And as a result comes a prayer. All this is a preamble to the actual poem. Zochreni Hashem Birtzon Amecha. Please, God, remember me as well, along with Ritzon Amecha. The word Ratzon is a difficult word, and I want to explain in a minute. Ratzon indicates that something is acceptable. Leratzot somebody is to appease them, and you apologize to, and you make up. We make up. We megetach iberbeten in Yiddish, they say. We have managed somehow to resolve our issues, and we are now going to again want one another. When God again wants his people, please God remember me too. Because there is an indication that at this stage, when he's writing this, Am Yisrael and God are not biratzon. They're not in alignment. There is a disconnect. There is a certain measure of anger. Pokdeini b'yeshuatecha. Please count me in when you finally save us. And do you notice how he talks to God in second person? You will do this for me. There's I and you in this section. This is a prayer. Somebody who is not in a good place, who needs to be saved, but who counts himself as among those people who keeps the law, who tries to do tzedakah in all times, and in all times meaning in the good times and in the bad times. And then he goes and he says, I would like to be counted in. Please notice that there's two words, zochreinu and pokdeinu. Lizko, to remember, is just a mental activity. Pokdeinu, lifkod, is to act on that memory. Pokdeinu would then mean that I need to punish you for the bad thing you did. I remember a good thing that you did. I need to remember reward. He's asking, please only hold me accountable for your salvation, not for the bad things. Remember me when you again want your people. Don't forget me. Somebody clearly who wants to be part of Am Yisrael and wants to be part of the salvation of Am Yisrael, though he may be not worthy. I want to see again the good of your chosen one. Implying that right now things are not good. Lismoach b'simchat goyecha. I want to again rejoice in the joy of your people. Lehitalel im nachalatecha. I want to praise myself along with your portion, your land. Please, God, remember me. This is written by somebody who's in Golus, who's lost it, and hopes for a return. That God take back his people and bring them back to his land. And I hope to merit that, he says. Though chatanu imavoteinu, we too have sinned along with our forefathers. Hevinu hirshanu. Just like on Yom Kippur. Chatanu, avinu. What is the difference? A chet is a shgaga. It's a mistake or a weakness of the flesh. When somebody is given into temptation, certainly not something that they wanted to do. It was a moment of weakness, either weakness of will or weakness of knowledge. That's why it's a shgaga. I didn't know that I'm not allowed to do this. I wasn't taught. He'evinu, however, is much worse. And avon is a perversion, and it usually refers to perversion of thought. And that thought is, well, we've always done it this way. I know it's wrong, but we do it this way anyway, so it must be right. And what you do is you change your ideas to justify your actions. It finally leads to kfira. It finally leads to absolute apostasy. Why? There can't possibly be a God, or if there is a God, he's not watching and he doesn't care. And that helps me somehow reconcile my behavior. Once I've done that, comes the word hirshanu. Rishis is now when you do something bad, and you know it's bad, and you don't even bother justifying it. I can, and therefore I do it, and that's the end of it. So at this point, you've got somebody who's moved from a boo-boo all the way to deliberate defiance. And that, he's saying, we've done. So he believes that he is in Golus. And all of this has come to us because we, like our forefathers, have sinned and went from bad to worse. Avoteinu b'Mitzrayim lo hiskilu nifleotecha. And now he's going to go backwards, because he just said, we've done what they did. So in a sense, he's saying, I'm going to look at history and what happened to our forefathers, because ma'aseh avot siman lebanim. What they did, we're doing. Their golus is just like our golus. And if we understand what they did wrong, we'll understand why we got to where we got to right now. What did they do? They failed to recognize with a seichel your wonders. They lived and they saw 10 makas. But it makes no difference, because while you're living it, you don't recognize it. You don't see the miracles while it's happening. Furthermore, lo zachru et rov chasadecha, they didn't remember all of your loving kindness, and vayamru al yam biyam suf. And there's a certain redundancy here. Yamru means, and they rebelled on the sea and biyam suf. Comes Rashi and gives us the rest of the story. Did you notice that it says al yam? And then if you said al yam, you don't have to say biyam suf. Mm-hmm. When they stood at the shore of the sea and they saw the Egyptians behind them coming after them, what did they say? Did you bring us out here to die in the desert? Let's turn back. That was number one rebellion. 10 plagues. All that they saw. Nevertheless, as soon as they came to the first obstacle, came that rebellion. Well, the sea split. Nachshon ben Aminadav dove in. The sea split. They're walking on dry land. But the Egyptians can also go into dry land. And they followed them into dry land. Only when they got to the other side and then the waters closed in on the Egyptians did they recognize. But even as they were crossing, they were complaining, oh my God, but in the same way that we can cross the sea, so can the Egyptians cross the sea. Nevertheless, Vayoshiem Leman Shmo, he saved them for the sake of his name. And his name is, he keeps his promises. And he promised Abraham that his children would be enslaved, but they would come out with a great wealth, and he would take them back and give them this land. And so though they were not worthy, he saved them for his sake, in order, lehodia et gvurato, to let the whole world know his great strength, because you will remember that Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with God and said, they will say that you don't have the capability of saving your people, so you took him out to die here. So he raged at the sea and it dried up. And he made them walk down the depths as if it were a desert. That's how dry it was. And now please notice what he does again. Vayushiem miyatsone. And he saved them from the hand of somebody who hates them. Vayigalem miyad oyev. Eva, Oyev, is somebody who doesn't act on his hatred, but it keeps it inside, waiting for another day. Come many of the Mefarshim and say the redundancy is not merely for emphasis, as Ibn Ezra would tell you, but rather what he did then, he will do again. He saved them and he will vayig alem. Please notice that this is not and, this and, yig al is future tense. He will again save them, miyad oyev. Vayachasu maim tzarehem, and the waters covered those that would besiege them. Echad mehem lo notar, not one of them remained, and only then, vayaminu bidvarav, yashiru tehilato. They believed, because it tells you then, right? Vayaminu b'Hashem u'b'Moshe avdo. They believed his words and sang his praises for a little while. And immediately, miharu shachachu ma'asav. Very quickly, they forgot his actions. Lo chiku le'atzato, and didn't wait for his advice. This is when they went from Yam Suf to Mara, where there was bitter waters. And immediately they complained, there's no water, we won't have anything. And they didn't even wait for a moment, because God told them to take the tree and throw it in, and it would somehow sweeten the water. They didn't even give him a chance to do something when they were already crying, did you bring us out here to die? Vayit'avu te'ava bamidbar. And then they lusted a lust in the desert. And the lusting of the lust was not merely that they wanted meat. Remember, kivota te'ava. But meat here is a double entendre. It is a desire for what, Chazal tell us? For no restrictions on their sexuality. They wanted something to spice it up. So it was not merely about meat. They had fallen to memtet she'arei tuma. Vayit'avu te'ava b'midvar. And why? Because their bread was taken care of, says Radak. They didn't have to worry about water. They had their parnoses, so they had time to look for something to spice it up. Vayinasu kel b'yishimon, and they tested God there in the desolation. This is not only an accusation of what they did, but of what the author and his generation are doing in Golos. Vayiten lahem she'latam, so he gave them what they requested. Vayishalach razon benafsham, and he sent razeh is thin. It means this actual hunger in their soul. He stuffed their mouths with meat. But what was their soul? It was not satiated. In fact, if I give you what you want, I'm giving you all of this meat, you stuff yourself with it, and what remains hungry is the soul. Well, that resolved itself, and now we have a problem. Vayikanu leMoshe b'machane leAaron kedosh Hashem, and he's moving along to the machloket of Korach ve'adato. But Korach and Adato did not happen at this point, because he still did not mention Chet HaEgel. He did not mention the Meraglim, the spies, that came before Korach. So this is not following chronological order. So some see it as nothing more than a case of poetic license, big deal. But why would you do that if you're following a retrospective in history? Comes the Malbim as well as Rabbi Shimshon Lefayel Hirsch, and they explain to us that the order is actually in the order of the consequences. The consequences of Korach and Adato was limited to the death of Korach and the 250 men that followed him. The Chet HaEgel was limited to those that actually worshipped the Egel and would not allow Moshe to destroy it. The Meraglim, that condemned the entire generation. So he's moving from the least punishment to the worst punishment. So there is a logic to the order in their jealousy for Moshe and in their jealousy over Aharon, each wanting power and a chance to do what he wants. What happened? Tiftach aretz, the land opened up, vativla datan, and swallowed datan. Vatichas aladat aviram, and it covered itself up over the followers of Aviram. But who's not mentioned? Korach is not mentioned at all. Here. Why is Korach not mentioned at all? You see, Korach's son survived. Many of the Mizmorim are attributed to Bnei Korach. And they were some of the great composers. So are these among the sons of Korach that are writing this without their name? Vativar esh be'adatam, a fire went out amongst them in their congregation. Lehava telahet reshaim. And suddenly he repeats this, but no longer using past tense, but future tense. A flame will consume evildoers. This is saying, as then, let it happen now. And then what did they do? Yasu egel bechorev. They made a calf in Chorev, which is, of course, Mount Sinai, another name for Mount Sinai. V'ishtachavu lemasecha. And they bowed down to a molten god. V'yamiru et kvodam. And they exchanged their honor for the form of an ox who eats grass. The eating grass of the ox, Rashi says, is because as the cow, as the ox eats its grass, its saliva runs over and it is disgusting. This is, of course, terrific irony. What did they exchange? Who is Kvodam? What did they exchange? Their honor for an ox that eats grass. What's their honor? So some say it's merely in a reference to God, in lieu of God. But it's called their honor. And my honor is my soul. And since my soul and my essence, that which I really am, I recognize is not my body. It's not what I do. It's more than that. I transcend my body. I transcend time. From my own sense of my kavod. And the British understood this when they said, I give you my word of honor. It's my kavod is a chelik eloka mimal. It's a part of the divinity. It's my neshama. I believe in God because I believe in the force, in the spiritual force that animates me. It's my mind which is not bound by time or by space. I will no longer be here, but my kavod will be here. On what basis am I saying it? David HaMelech tells us, Leman yezamercha kavod velo yidom, so that my kavod will sing to you and never be silenced. David's kavod is not silenced. He's dead. But that's why we say David Melech Yisrael chai vekayam. Because his spirit and what he left us is, that is the kavod. So the kavod is not a false kavod that somebody else gives you. It's your essential honor. And the honor is what makes you human. But if you've given up your honor, you've lost your soul. And you've lost your soul when you bow down to the work of your hands. Savoy de Zore is not merely this ancient idolatry where you looked at a statue and you believed that that was what made you. It's when you worshipped the work of your own hands, thinking that this is all that there is. It's the materialism of it. And when you've given up that, you see, this is the second time when he talked about the loss of their souls, the hunger on their souls, and in this case, they lost their soul. So this became, by the way, one of the most famous lines, where Vayamiru et kvodam betavnit shosh ochel esef. Shachachu el Moshiam, they forgot the God that saved them, Oseh gdolot b'mitzrayim, that did such great things for them in Egypt. Nifla'ot be'eretz Ham, and did such wonders in the land of Ham. Nura'ot, and such horrid things that happened on Yam Suf. They forgot Mitzrayim, they forgot what happened everywhere else. Vayomer la'ashmidam, and so he had intended to destroy them. Remember, he told Moshe Rabbeinu after the Egel, let me wipe them out and I'll make a new nation out of you. Lulei Moshe Bchiro amad baperetz lefanav. Had it not been for Moshe who stood up in that crack a moment before him. Lehashiv chamoto mehashchit. To calm God's rage and keep him from wiping us out. Well, you would presume right afterwards, you remember they were supposed to continue to Eretz Yisrael, and they sent the spies after the Egel. Vayimasu be'eretz chemda, but they despised the lovely land, the promised land. Lo eminu ledvaro, and they didn't believe his word that they would come there. What was the word? Moshe Rabbeinu sent them and told them it's Eretz Zavat Chalav Udvash. And they said, no, let's go check it out and see if it really is. They didn't believe his word in this case is Moshe's word. Vayiragnu be'oaleihem, so they butchket in their tents and they mumbled and they did whatever. Lo shamu be'kol Hashem, and they did not listen to the voice of God. Meaning they did not obey. Vayisa yado lahem, so he lifted his hand to them as an oath. Lehapil otam bamidbar, to make them all fall in the desert. You see, it doesn't even tell us quickly about what the spies actually said. It skips over this. But he's mentioning here that part of the problem of dying in the desert is because we ma'asu be'eretz chemda, because we despised the Holy Land and didn't want to return to it. So he made the ground burn underneath us, forcing us to go back to Eretz Yisrael. Ulehapil zar'am bagoyim, and made their children fall amongst the nations. Well, it didn't happen there. Is he talking about them? He's talking about us in Golus. You didn't want to go back to your land, so your children will fall amongst the goyim. Ulezarotam ba'aratzot, and he scattered them amongst all the various lands. Explaining that Golus, then and now, is because of our not willing to love Eretz Yisrael, not recognizing our commitment to it, not willing to go back there. Instead, Vayitzamdu lebal peor, this was, by the way, in year number 40, when they came to the border, and the Midianim came there, and they sent out their women, and they cleaved to Baal Peor, which was a ugly form of idolatry. Vayochlu zivchei metim, and they ate, zivchei metim means sacrifices offered to the dead, because they used to worship the dead, and because those idols are actually dead. But it also is a way of describing eating, if you like, carrion. Vayachisu b'mal aleihem, and they enraged God. They made him angry with their acts. And ma'al aleihem means the sexual acts. Vatifrotz b'mageifa, and so a plague burst out amongst them. Until vayamot Pinchas vayifalel. And the word yifalel is not lehitfalel. Itfalel means to pray. Vayifalel plili means criminal. He took upon himself to enact the law. Vateatzer hamageifa, and the plague stopped. Vatecheshav lo litzdaka, and that act of vigilantism and zealotry was deemed as a righteous act. Dor vador ad olam, for generation to generation, because God made him a promise that he would have this brit, a covenant with Pinchas and with Eliyahu, you understand, for all generations. But yaktifu al mei meriva, again not in the order. Mei meriva is when there was no mortar. This is after Miriam's death. Yaktifu al mei meriva, they enraged God again. They made him, the fury of it was. Vayera le Moshe ba'avuram, and things went bad for Moshe because of them, because Moshe lost his temper and said, Shimuna hamorim, ki himru et rucho hamorim, for they had rebelled against his spirit. Vayevate bisfatav, and he expressed with his lips, and it doesn't say what, called them bad names, you understand? And for that, Moshe was punished. Lo hishmidu et ha'amim, but now they went into Eretz Yisrael, and they were supposed to wipe out all the nations, remember? Right. But they got lazy. As soon as they got themselves settled, they said, we had enough of the wars, we don't want to. Shulam alai nafshi, it's good enough, I got my little piece of land, I got my home, got my cattle, I don't care what's happening with my neighbor next door. Lo hishmidu et ha'amim. They did not wipe out the nations that they were supposed to wipe out. Asher amar lahem Hashem, which God told them to do. And instead, vayitarvu bagoyim, they mixed in with the other nations, intermarried with them. Vayelamdu ma'asehem, and they learned from their deeds. Vayavdu et atzaveihem, and they worshipped the idols of the Canaanites. Vayulahem lemokesh, and they became the stumbling block. That's what brought them down. And what did they do? Vayizbechu et bnehem ve bnotehem l'shedim. They sacrificed their own children, their sons and their daughters, to the demons. Just as the, you know, Jeremiah described them bringing their children and sat burning them for the Molech. Yes, they did that. Vishpichu dam naki, and they shed innocent blood. Dam bnehem uvnotehem, the blood of their own sons and their own daughters. Ashel zivchu le'atzavei Knaan, which they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, vatechenaf haaretz bedamim, and the land was defiled with all of that blood. And the land of Israel would not tolerate that defiling, so it kicked them out. Yitam'u b'masehem, they defiled themselves, they became tameh by their own deeds. Vayiznu, znut, which means licentious behavior. With their behavior, vayichar Hashem af Hashem be'amo, God became angry at his nation. Vayita'ev et nachalato, he despised his own portion. The Shechina left Eretz Yisrael. It was impossible for the Shechina to be in a place where such actions occur. And instead, vayitnem ve'yad goyim, he gave them over to the hands of other nations. Vayim shelu bahem sonehem, and they were ruled by those who hate them. Vayilchatsum oivehem, and their enemies oppressed them. Vayikanu tachat yadam, and they submitted under them. We are talking here about Ashur, Bavel, later on Rome, and I needless to say, this is continuing in our history. Pa'amim rabot yatzilein, he saved them many times. Vehema yamru be'atzatam, but they rebelled, relying on their own devices. Vayamoku be'avonam, plagued by their own sins. In other words, this, what they do to themselves. Vayar betzar lahem, but he saw when things were hard for them, when they were squeezed. Bishom'o etrinatam, and when he heard their prayers. Vayiskol lahem brito, he remembered, and he's using past tense, meaning the future. Mm-hmm. And he will remember his covenant, the promises that he made to the forefathers. Vayenachem, and he will change his mind. Kirov chasadav, because of all of the great strength of his love. Vayiten otam lerachamim lifnei kol shoveihem, he will ultimately make them an object of mercy for all those who previously held them captive. Just as it is written in the book of Yeshayahu, that they will all bring them back, carrying back the children of Israel, back to the land of Israel. And now please notice, he goes back to first person and second person. All that was third person. You saw that? He switched from a prayer, and now back to a prayer. Hoshienu Hashem Elokeinu, please God save us. Kapceinu minagoyim, gather us from all the nations. Do you see how your author is in Golus? Lehodot, so that we can again thank your holy name, and we can praise ourselves with your praises. We can brag, knowing that we're your children. And then he goes and gives a bracha. Baruch Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Blessed is Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is before he saves him, while I'm still in Golus. Min ha'olam ve'ad ha'olam. From one end of eternity to the other end of eternity. From one end of the world to the other end of the world. Explains Rabbi Shimshon Raphael Hirsch. As long as I'm in Golos, my job is to spread the name of Hashem. To bless it. To make it known to all other peoples. From one end of the world to the other, giving meaning to our galus, that it is not merely punitive, but it is a mission. As our forefathers did in the 105th Psalm, which we learned, Ve'amar kol ha'am, and may all the people together say, Amen. Hallelujah.